Morning, Boker Tov. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Chav Tes. Yuma Daf Chav Tes. We started the new parak, the third parak. Yesterday, the Mishnah discussed that they have a process to call out to make sure that it's indeed morning, daybreak, in order not to run into issues with which they were running into. They once brought the tumid too early. They shechted it before daybreak, which rendered a puzzle. This is a din not just relegated to Yom Kippur. L'chor, it's a din relevant all year round. Although the Mishnah then jumps in and says, once you know for sure it's morning, you do shechita. Then also the kaigot can go to the mikvah. That would seem to be Yom Kippur. Then the Gemara we're about to start touch on, we'll actually discuss that right away. What are these two things? Are we talking about Yom Kippur, or are we talking about throughout the year? Ultimately, it's going to be two separate thoughts, two separate dinim. Okay, but before that, we discussed in yesterday Gemara, we segued into the idea of doing things as early as possible, Zriz Makhtiv Mitzvahs, Avram Avinu Azaris, and then we got to the idea that Avram Avinu was Meshemer, Kol HaTerah Kula. So we raised a couple of questions on the topic. First, we discussed a famous Mishnah Lamel, Precious Drachim, whether or not the obvious had the status of Ben Noach, who Ben Noach is Ben Noach, yet the obvious kept Kol HaTerah Kula, even though they were Bnei Noach. Or no, the obvious had a din of Yidin. They had a din of Yid. They didn't just did have a din of Bnei Noach. We were keeping Kol HaTerah Kula. They actually had a din of Yid. We said perhaps that's actually the machlokes between Yosef and the brothers. That's the machlokes Yosef and the brothers. Okay, we touched on that a bit yesterday. But one other topic we touched on yesterday, which I want to be myself another answer to, is we had a question of Avraham kept Kol HaTerah Kula. So then why did he wait till 100 to do Bris Milah? Why did he wait till Hashem gave a commandment? At 100, he kept Kol HaTerah Kula. He should have done Bris Milah quite before that. So we said a couple of tirutzim. One that we said was that we know a mitzvah of Isa, one who's commanded to a mitzvah, gets moschad than a person who does it without a tzivay. So a regular mitzvah that Avraham Avinu could do now, before the tzivay, and then repeat again after he gets a tzivay, so he could do it before the tzivay, and then again post the tzivay. Bris Milah could only be done once, and therefore Avraham Avinu didn't want to waste the opportunity of doing the mitzvah in his best form. It's not just they get more schar. A mitzvah gets more schar, it's a better mitzvah. He didn't want to do the mitzvah in his best eifin, in the best form, and the best form was waiting until he has a tzivay. That's the Mizrahi's terrors. The Beis Halevi's answers that in order to have a Bris, you have to have a treaty, you have to have two parties. You can't have one party to a treaty. So Avraham Avinu have to wait till Kash Baruch gave him the tzivay in order to have a second party to this bris, to this treaty. And then we said the Biskrav Teretz that didn't have Arla, the foreskin didn't have a status of Arelus until there was a mitzvah of Bris Milah. Only with the mitzvah of Bris Milah did the Arla get a status of Arelus. But there's another answer brought by the Kli Chemda who says that, the Pradizeis, the Pradizeis says that there's an Isser Chavallah. Until, yes, there's a Kol HaTerah Kula, and the Torah, there's a mitzvah of Bris Milah. But until there's actually a tzivah Bris Milah, the Isser of being Chayvul Ba'atzmai, this Isser of Tumor Bavakam, that was not allowed to be Chayvul himself, the Isser of Chayvul Ba'atzmai would preclude a person from doing a Bris Milah without the tzivah. Avraham Avinu didn't have a tzivah yet, was precluded from doing the Bris Milah until he got that tzivah. That's the Torah that I saw yesterday after the shir from the Paradis Yosef. That's why Avraham Avinu had to wait. Okay, so we're about the two dots, 10 lines up from the bottom of the page. You're going to elaborate just on the lashon of the Mishnah. And the Mishnah said this conversation about whether or not it became lit up on the eastern side to Chevron. And the question is, there seems to be a conversation back and forth between the guy who's announcing that the eastern side of Chevron was lit up. Says the Gemara, Masi Mishmul Emer, Vu Emer Hain. So we'll go back to read the Mishnah, read the words of the Mishnah inside. The words of the Mishnah inside, the Mishnah says that Masi Mishmul Emer, Heir Kopenei Mizrach. The fellow said, the administrator who went to go check would say, the eastern side has been lit up as far as Chevron, former Hain, and he said, yes. Who's he? Is he the same person is reaffirming his own statement? Who's talking to whom? And Elamai means that the first person said it lit up all the way to Mizrach, and the second person said, yes. The first person is the one on the roof looking and seeing. The one downstairs, the one on the ground, it doesn't see. So why would the one on the ground be the one to affirm he doesn't have the same visual as the one on the roof? Says the Gemara. Man Amahin, who is the one that's declaring yes? If it's the one on the roof who's observing, he's the one that has the dream and he interprets the dream. Meaning, he's the one that made the statement and he's responding yes to himself. Elamai is the one on the ground. The one on the ground, he knows better than one on the roof to say, yes, it's true. How is he affirming that one on the roof has a better visual than the one on the ground? How is one on the ground affirming what the one on the roof says? Says the Gemara, I can answer you either way. I can tell you the person who's responding yes is the person on the roof who has the visual, who sees, or I can tell you the person responding yes is the one on the ground. And the Gemara explains both ways. I'll tell you it's the one on the roof because the conversation is as follows. First, the person on the roof says, the old eastern side is lit up. Stop. That's all he said. And then the next two words were said by the fellow on the ground. The fellow on the ground says, till Chevron. So it wasn't the guy on the roof saying it's lit up all the way till Chevron. It was the guy on the roof just said it's lit up.
The guy on the ground said, as far as Chevron, and the guy on the roof then responds, yes, till Chevron. Very simple, says Gemara. So we just we need information, a way to plug in those commas. Says Gemara, Vamaliyu, Hain. And the other fellow says, yes, all the way to Chevron. That's simple explanation. If he may say, or he can say the other way, it's the guy on the ground saying yes. Hachtaka Ara is saying Yehain. And how did the conversation go? Amar Iu Her Pnei Kol Mizrach. The one on the ground asks, did the entire eastern sky light up? Vamale. And the one on the roof says, yes, Ad Sheb Chevron. Well, I shouldn't say the word yes. He says, Ad Sheb Chevron. Indeed, it's lit up all the way till Chevron. Vamar Lehein. And the person on the ground responds is, yes, that's exactly what I wanted to know. I wanted to know if it's lit up till Chevron. Even again, the one on the ground had asked, is it lit up? He didn't say there was still Chevron. He said, is it lit up? The one on the roof, as the visual, says, it's all the way till Chevron. And the one on the ground says, yes, that's perfect. That's exactly what I wanted to know. Yes, almost like, yes, that's score. That's exactly the information that we needed. Rashi just points out what's the uniqueness of Chevron. We just want to infuse in our daily conversation the schus of the avos who are buried in Chevron. That's why there's a stress on Chevron per se. Okay. V'lamatzuk l'kach. Now the Mishnah said, why was such an emphasis in having this whole conversation, this dialogue, whether or not it's light, because once they brought it too early, they shecht it too early, and that to bring the kachem to base up soul. What was the issue? We said the mission issue was because they confused the light of the moon with the light of the sun, with the early morning rays of the sun. Is that possible to make that confusion? For a time, you moved to the baisa. You cannot compare the shaft of the light of the moon to the shaft of the light of the sun. Why? The shaft of the light from the moon rises like a column, like a stick, straight up, and straight down. Whereas the shaft of the light of the sun, it spreads out in different directions. So the way the light spreads is much different by the sun, where it spreads out, as opposed to the moon, where it just rays in like a straight line. So why would they make a mistake? How could they have confused it? It was a cloudy day. It was a cloudy day, and since it was a cloudy day, so even the moonlight looked like it was being diffused in different directions, because it was the moonlight was noticeable where there was breaks in the clouds. But where there were clouds, separated the visibility of the moonlight, and therefore it looked like the sun in that it was spread out, and therefore they made that mistake. Amar Rav Papa, Shema Mina Yemida Iva Kula Shemsha. Rav Papa says, learn from this idea that the clouds can take something which has a direct light and kind of spread it. So learn from this that on a sunny day, the light is felt in every place, meaning, Even on a cloudy day, the sun is felt in every place wherever there's a crack in the clouds. Meaning, even though it's cloudy and right now you don't have a direct vision of the entire sun, what happens is when there's breaks in the clouds, the sun is actually almost even more powerful. Seems like that's how the Mefarshim explained this Gemara. It's even more powerful because it's trying to burst through. It's more powerful in those areas. Maybe it seems more powerful because the contrast to the protection for the clouds, to the spot where there's no protection, but it's more powerful in the spots where there's breaks in the clouds. If one's drying out skins, he shouldn't think, oh, it's cloudy, and therefore my skins won't get dry, and maybe leave them there too long, whatever it may be. He should appreciate the sun still has power, even when it's cloudy, and the skins will get dried out. Or another afkamina, inami, l'chadarish rava, on Pesach, a woman should not need dough, not in the sun, nor in the water that was heated for the sun. So Rav said in Drasha that a woman should not need dough in the sun or water heated in the sun on Pesach, because it's going to be faster to become chametz, obviously. We're saying that applies even on a cloudy day. Even on a cloudy day, you have to worry where the sun breaks through the cracks in the cloud. You still have to worry that the sun has power, maybe even more power, in those spots. And therefore, you have to be careful. The din of Rava would still apply. A woman should not be kneading her dough in the sun. I'm Rav Nachman. Zuma de Shimsha. Once we've discussed that the sun breaking through on a cloudy day, so we're going to have a couple of mishalim for different types of things, including this. Zuma de Shimsha, Kashi Mishimsha. The heat of the sun on a cloudy day, the Zuma of the Shimsha, is harder, stronger than the sun itself. the Simanech, meaning the sun on a clear day, which again is not seemingly what we typically feel, but it's maybe it's the contrast, or maybe it's this notion that the sun is trying to burst out, so wherever it finds an opening, it's like that when heat escapes through an opening, you get a more pressurized, a more condensed form of heat because it's coming through one opening. So that's the sun on a cloudy day. The spots where it breaks through are sunnier, hotter than even a regular full sunny day. A way to have a symbol for this is a jar of vinegar. Jar of vinegar, of course, is a very strong smell. When it's contained in a jar, totally, the smell is typically, it's stuck within the jar. If you puncture a small hole in the jar, a lot of smell will come out from that hole, more so maybe than if you open the jar itself totally and the smell would spread out, you know, to a larger area, it wouldn't be as condensed, it wouldn't be as concentrated. Whereas when you have a smaller hole, it's more concentrated, the smell comes from a smaller spot, so too the sun is the same idea. Simonech, Dana Dechala, a way to remember it is a jar of vinegar. Shavimi Deshimsha, Kasha Beshimsha. The blinding effects of looking at the sun, again, when it breaks through the clouds, the blinding effects of looking at the sun that's breaks through the clouds is worse than looking at the sun on a clear day. Visimanech. And a way to remember that, a simon to that idea, again, is Dilfa. Here, this one of that is Dilfa. What's Dilfa? So if you look at the bottom half of the page, if you have a drip, this is like, sounds like almost like Chinese torture. Gusha Delfa Yerin Al Adam Me bottom of the page. It's harder, a drip on a person, of a drip is on one spot of the body, than water pouring on the whole body. A person gets water poured on his whole body, so whether he was in the mood of it, whether he was in the mood of a shower or not, there's a certain level of comfort / uncomfort if he gets water on his whole body. But when he gets a drip on one spot, it's an extremely much more uncomfortable, so too, sun bursting out of specific areas between the clouds is more painful for the eyes than looking at the sun, the entire sun in its entirety without any blockage. Top of Chavtas Ben Alf, Hirhure Avera, all these things are kind of like, it's almost opposite of what you would think, and therefore stressing it, right? The sun breaking through clouds is more powerful in some senses than the sun fully open without the clouds. Hirhure Avera, the Machshavas of Avera, Kashem Avera, are worse than the Avera itself. A simon to remember that is Recha Demisra. The smell of roasted meat, it could build up in a person an extreme craving, a taiva, which builds up like saliva. And the Chazal discussed that saliva, that which forms in his mouth, it could be quite dangerous, much more dangerous than meat itself. Meat itself could be healthier or potentially be not so healthy, but eating the meat itself is not as bad as what it does to the body. The cravings, when one smells that meat, and when the cravings go unfulfilled, that is a bigger detriment to the body than the meat itself. So to hear Avera could be worse than the Avera itself. What this means, Rashi says, Pashas, we're talking about Taiva for Noshim. It means Taiva for Noshim. And what it means is it's worse for the physical body. We're not saying it's worse than that physical Avera itself. Avad Avera itself could be worse than the Machshava. It just means for a person's body, physically, when he does Avera, not because he did Avera, but physically for his body, it may not be as bad as if he has a Taiva, craving for the Avera, this famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, where the person had a crazy Taiva, where he went to the doctor. The doctor said, unless you live to fulfill the taiva, he's going to die. That's what the taiva was. And what was the psak over there? He had to die. The Gemara over there goes through, maybe he had taiva for Nisha. Maybe let her at least come in front of him, unclothed. No, let him at least do this. They try to seek out etzes of maybe how to fulfill his craving without being over the avera. Ultimately, there was no heter to be over the avera. Fine, because that was a rias. But the point is that the craving for the avera can do damage to the body more than the avera itself. That's how Rashi explains it. Lemaisa, the Rambam, the big Rambam, a completely different explanation. That when a person is avera physically, so his physical is no different than an animal. We're not defending it. We're not making it okay. The point just is the greatness of mankind, of humans, over animals is not in the physical. It's in the mind. So when the avera attacks the mind, that's worse because it's attacking the element of our bodies that make us more special and make us unique in the world. We're unique in the world because we have brains, we have a mind, and when we're avera is over the craving, the taiva of the avera, the ru avera is overtaking us, overtaking our minds, it's taking control of the facet in which we are greater than animals. The physical avera is a terrible thing, of course, but in that sense, we're not greater than animals to begin with. So the Rambam Meravuchim seems to learn that's the problem, that we're desecrating our minds with her avera. In that sense, it's worse than the physical avera itself. Okay. Shali Tekaita Kasha Pekaita. The end of the summer actually is worse than the beginning of the summer. Why? The simple idea is Rashi explains for fever purposes, for getting overheated. Because you're coming on the heels of a whole summer where your body's temperature has been raised. It's like the Gemara gives a simple mashal. Shagira, a heated oven. It's very easy. A heated oven, you want to get it, keep it hot again, you just put in a couple of small sticks, light it up. The oven already was retaining old heat, and therefore it's easy to heat it up. The person whose body's been hot for the whole summer, when it comes to the end of the summer, it's funny, we would have thought opposite. Typically, we feel like at the beginning of the winter, it feels freezing, and as winter moves on, your body's less cold because your body becomes acclimated to that kind of weather, and what did in the summer, right? Your body becomes more acclimated to the hot temperature. It's probably more normal, besides the fact that August, let's say in our summers, is already cooler than July. But if you go with the proper, again, solar calendar, really, June, July is the summer month. Those are the hotter months. So assuming June, July are equally hot, normally you'd say the body becomes more acclimated with the heat by the time you get to the end of the summer, and therefore it's less of an effect. Agamar is saying different. Agamar is saying that the body's already in a more heated stage. It's already one level hotter, and therefore it's faster for the body to become overheated. There's a beautiful Ben Yehuda. Ben Yehuda says over here, there's a few of them on this Gemara, not surprisingly, but one of them is over here. He says that the Gemara is really representing a person in his life. There's the younger ages and the older ages. When a person's young and vibrant, that represents when his body gets heated faster, so to speak. And then he reaches an older stage where it's like the winter. Younger is like the summer. Older stage is like the winter. Younger is the summer. He's out there. His body is hotter for taivas, for desires. As he gets older, he's more at home. It's more cold for him. His taivas are not as strong. That's the nature of a person. So the Gemara is pointing out to us that as he makes that transition from that stage of being younger and having more desires, more earthly desires, and being hotter, so to speak, its ultimate peak is actually at that stage right before it starts to cool down. It's not like when he's very young, he has crazy typhus, gets a little older, it slowly diminishes. It's almost like a mountain. As he gets to that age, towards the end of the summer, the end of the youth, that's whatever that youth is. I don't know if the youth is 25, 35, maybe now maybe it's 60, the new 60 is the new 50, maybe it's 70, who knows? But whatever that young age is, as he gets to the end of the young age, that's actually the peak of his typhus. He's just before the age where he starts to really get more self-control, or his typhus in general diminish, so it's easier to control himself. Right before that age, that's where his typhus are actually at the peak. Okay, that's where he learns that line of the Gemara. The Siman of Tanur, the Shigra, and the Siman is an oven that's already heated. Ishtas is Vasa Kasha Makaita. A winter fever is stronger than a summer fever. That's not so difficult to comprehend, because in the winter, it's cold outside. If a guy's running a fever in the winter, he can't cool down. Again, we have the advent of Advils and Tylenols and all these ulterior things that we put in our bodies that can typically easily reduce fever. Back in the day, it was more of a challenge when someone was hot to reduce the fever. So if a guy has a fever in the sun, in the winter, so it's already cold outside, and he's still running a fever, they found it very difficult to cool down. That was considered much more chummer than a fever in the summer. The siman is a cold oven. Migmar batika kasha mechata. Relearning something that was learned already and forgotten is harder than learning something new. Learning something that was already learned and was forgotten is harder than learning something new. V'semana tina martina, and the way to remember this idea is cement, making cement. Making fresh cement is much easier than making cement from existing cement. Breaking down existing cement to create new cement is much more difficult than making cement from scratch. So too, learning from scratch is easier than chazuring something that one already learned. There's two basic malachim in this. Maybe it's more. Rashi doesn't really creep too deep into any of the malachim, but there's two basic malachim. One malach is simply chazara is harder. Of course, it's extremely important. It's always a kishmak to learn something new. Chazara is more difficult to learn something new. That's very simple. That's one malach. Another malach is learning something that one already learned and doesn't remember perfectly or didn't learn it perfectly is much harder because you have to correct some mistaken premises. Whereas learning fresh, you have a clean slate, you have nothing, no mistaken notions in one's mind. It's easy to learn in that fashion than to learn and correct something that a person already learned wrong the first time. Someone has a wrong concept in his mind, very hard to erase it and correct it. If he doesn't have any concept and he teaches a little bit something new, it's easier to get a clean slate and learn it properly the first time. There's actually a halacha born in Shulchan Aruch about the Rebbe with the Talmidim on Shabbos. I'll not make it difficult. He should try to learn something which they already know. Instead of learning something new, which they may have a hard time to break their heads to understand, he should learn something they already know. Chazer, which is easier, that is brought in there. I think it's the Ramah brings it. Comes with the Pesach Chuvah and he says, what are you talking about? Yuma Daf Chavtes. It should be exact opposite. Learning Chazara is, he doesn't say the Chazara per se, learning something you know already is considered more difficult. Adarab, learning something new is more Gishmak, is easier. He says, on Shabbos, the Rebbe should learn something new and not something you already learned. Exact opposite, because based on our Gemara. I'm Rabbi Vo. My time into Rebbe, what's Pshat in Rebbe? Remember, we go back to Rebbe. Rebbe's one that says that the shaft of the sun goes in, it goes in all directions, as opposed to the moon. My time in Rebbe, the Simon Sech Yalas Shachar, my Yalazu Kurdim of Seals Khan and Khan, Av Shachar, Zem of Seals Khan and Khan. This that Rebbe described, that the sun diffuses in different directions, is based on the Lashon of the Pasuk in Kapitel Chabez in Tillim, Lamed Sech, Ayas HaShachar, it compares the Shachar to the Ayelas, the sun of the morning to the Ayelas, just like the Ayas HaShachar, the horns, the Ayelas, the hind, its horns go in different directions, the sunlight also branches out into different directions. Once we're on this Pasuk, so we darshan the Pasuk further, not really related to Pasuk at all, Amram Zera, Lamed Nibshel Esther Ayala, why was Esther compared to Ayala? We know famously, Kapitel Chabez is a big Indian design on Purim, that's the Kapitel that Esther self-said when she was going into Achashverosh, and she felt that the Shechina was leaving her as she was going into Achashverosh when Mordechai told her, go in to beseech on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So she, after they fasted 3 days and 3 nights, she went in and she felt the Shechina leaving her. And what did she say? Keli, Keli, lama zavtani. Why are you leaving me? That's right in the beginning of that kapitel, Chavveis, of Lama Tzeach, Ayas HaShachar. So Esther's compared to Ayas HaShachar, says Gemara. Amram Zera. Lama Nibshel Esther Layala. Why was Esther compared to the Ayala? Lamer, Ayala. So the truth is, there's going to be two things in this Gemara. She's compared to the Ayala, and she's also compared to the Shachar. That's going to be, the Gemara's going to have two separate drushas. First, why is she compared to the Ayala, to the hind? Lamer, Ayala, Rachma, Tsar. Just like the Ayala, this hind has a very narrow womb. The Chaviva Bala Kalshavasha, and therefore it's desirable to its Bala, to its mate all the time. Kishavasha, like the first time, like a Pasula. Af Esther, Esther was desired by Achashverosh all times, like Kishar Rishayna. If you remember, the Megillah describes that Achashverosh was able to, when his relations with Esther, to have both the Tam of Sula and the Tam of Bula. It presented him with both of the different benefits of relations with Esther. That's really what I was talking about, that she had, she gave Achashverosh that pleasure. Okay, that's the Ayala. The Amar Vasi, Lama Nibshel Esther LaShachar. Why is Esther compared to a Shachar? Shachar literally means the morning. Lama Lachma Shachar Seif Kol Laila. Af Esther Seif Kol Nisim. Just like Shachar is the end of the morning, of the night, so to Esther was the end of the Nisim. We talk, it was the end of the Nisim, at least, I mean, it wasn't really Nisim, William, end of the Nisim that are really Nisim that are recorded. Says Gemara, Mother right away asks, Hanukkah, Esther happened in between the first and the second base of Yiddish. Hanukkah happened during the second base of Yiddish. So, in fact, Gemara, Eke Hanukkah, whatever that is, Hanukkah, end of the Kosovo Kavidon, it means it's the end of the Nisim that were written down. We have Megillas Esther. There's nothing written about Hanukkah. Sai, there's nothing written in the Ksuvim. Furthermore, there's no Mishnayos for Hanukkah. It is Masechtas Megillah. I mean, it really goes hand in hand. The Mefarshim discussed that only things that have some sort of Teresh Shemachzav is there in Mishnah. Mishnayos written about them. Hanukkah, which doesn't have Teresh Shemachzav, it doesn't have its own Masechta. We do have Mishnayos that reference Hanukkah throughout Shas, but there's no Masechta of Hanukkah. There is no Ksuvim on Hanukkah. Says Gemara, Haik Hanukkah, Nichtav Lichtakarinan, it was the last of that which was given over to be written, was Purim. That was the end. That's all good according to opinion that Esther, the book of Esther, was considered for the Ksuvim and it was given over to be written Daka. Elmadamar, Esther in the Luchlev, his opinion says Esther was not allowed to be recorded. It could be written like any other storybook, like any other history book, but not as part of Ksuvim. So according to that opinion, Mike Lemamer, according to him, what does it mean Esther's compared to Shachar? We compared Esther to Shachar to say it was the end of the night, end of Ksuvim, but according to that opinion, it's not the end of Ksuvim. So what's the comparison to Shachar? Again, the comparison to Ayala could stay the same, right? But the comparison to Shachar, we need another Peshat. Says Gemara Mukimah Kerem Yamin Be'efes of Reb Lazar. He'll establish it like a Rebbe Efes in the name of Reb Lazar. That says what? And let's be clear. We're coming to explain Shachar, even though Gemara is going to stress Ayala's. We're coming to explain Shachar. Shachar, the first is speaking out before we even read the next Gemara, is because Shachar represents the tefillah of the morning. Of course, Shachar, we call it Shachar, is Shachar. Okay. Tamar Rabbi Yabim Ephes, Amar Blazer. Lamanim Shutfas Shazikim Kayelas. Why is the tefillah of Tzadikim, which is represented by the word Shachar, which the Gemara is not saying? But that's what we're coming to explain. The word Shachar represents tefillah. And why is the tefillah of Tzadikim called, why is it compared to Ayala's? Just because it's yellow, as long as it's growing, the horns, again, spread out. That was actually the pshat that he said before. We compared it to the sun, which spreads out. The horns spread out in different directions. So too, af tzadikim, because much of marmer betfila, tzvila also nishmas. As long as the marmer betfila, tzvila nishmas, and we actually see that from Esther. Esther kept davening, and her persistent tefillos were answered. Tzadikim also, even if they're davening, and the tefillos aren't answered right away, they continue davening, and their persistent tefillos are eventually indeed answered. That's the comparison of the shachar, to the, we're really making a comparison of the tefillah of tzadikim to the ayelas. That's the lashon of shachar by Esther. Okay. Shachar tzadikim. Back to more Yom Kippur, Yuma, regular Yuma Gemaras. We said in the morning, they shechted the Tamid before it was proper alais, and therefore they had to bring it to the Beis Epsil. Says the Gemara, Amos, when did the story take place? In the Meshachal Yuma Seshana, if it's talking about the rest of the year, which we pointed out that no reason to assume not, the next words of the Mishnah were very shver. It says they announced this in the morning, because the reason they're so busy with this is because one time they did it too early, so once they announced the morning, Kagad would go and go to the mikveh. Kohen Gadol going to the mikveh, that next part of the Mishnah seems to be Yom Kippur did, where the avodah has to be dafkin with the Kohen Gadol. Says the Gemara, if it's over the rest of the year, l'saglav Kohen Gadol, why are we saying right away the Kohen Gadol goes to the mikveh as if he has to be the one doing the avodah the rest of the year? It doesn't have to be the Kohen Gadol. El Yom Kippur, Yom Kippurim, El Amayim told me Yom Kippur, so now we got a real problem. Ma'ar Levana Mika, if the story took place where they confused the Ar Levana with the Ar Lechava, was the same day that we're discussing that now that they know that's for sure morning, Kohen Gadol jumps, goes to the mikveh, that confusion would not happen by Yom Kippur. Because the way it works is, the light of the moon is greater in the second half of the month, in the mornings, close to daybreak, is greater in the second half of the month, after the midway, after the 15th of the month. But in the first part of the month, which is Yom Kippur, of course, is the 10th of the month, the light of the moon is not great enough to even make that mistake. That mistake must have happened at a different time of the month, so it cannot connect to Yom Kippur, so it'll be throwing in Kohen Gadol together with the story. The Gemara is bothered by the Mishnah just putting together those two things. We pointed out when we read the Mishnah, it seemed to jump back and forth from a story during the year to a story of Yom Kippur, to Yom Kippur Dinim, which is really what the Gemara's going to answer. Says the Gemara, Hakamar, Uvi Amekipurim, and Yom Kippur, did number one was throughout the year. They had to be careful because of this Maaseh Shaya, where they confused the light of the moon with the sun. That's throughout the year. And on Yom Kippur, Uvi Yom Kippurim. So sticking in two words, Uvi Yom Kippurim, Kiyama Bark Barkai, Haridu Kagadol Beis Tefila. Our Mishnah says Haridu Kagadol Beis Tefila. Sticking the two words, Uvi Yom Kippurim. We're saying two different dinim. Rambam actually has two separate maises. And there are two maises that happen. There's a maise that happened on Yom Kippur, a separate story, and there's a maise that happened throughout the year, two separate stories. I'm not sure exactly how we answer the question if this, how would the maise happen on Yom Kippur, but Rambam learns clearly the two separate maises. Even without Rambam, we're just saying it's two separate statements. One is the statement of the issue all year round, and one is what they did on Yom Kippur. Yes?
It seems like the Levana, not so much, you know, the 10th of the month is sort of close to the middle, that the Levana at that point of the month never would be shown in the morning in that kind of a way.
Correct. Yeah. If that's not what I said, it's what I should have said. Very good. That's 100% correct. Tani Avu Adir Bavavin. So the father of Ravin Torah Nebraisa, Lezu Bavad Amru, El Apelikas Aif, Kmitzas Mincha Belayla. We get back to Kachim, Kishmaka Kachim, Sigis over here. We know comparable to Shechita of animal, when we have a bird, we do Malika on the bird. What's Malika? Of course, the Kohen takes it, the bird holds it in his hands, in his fingers, and he pulls back his thumb. His thumb has a long nail on the thumb, and he plunges the nail of his thumb through the back of the neck of the animal, of the bird, and he does malika. Similarly to malika, by a bird and by an animal respectively, we have by a mincha, the act of kaimitz. Doing kmitza is like the corresponding act of shchita / malika by a bird and animal. Says Avod Derbavin, just like shchita at night is possible, hence the fact that they burnt the tamid that was done in Pasalos before daybreak. So too, Malika Zayif and Kmitzis Amincha would also, Tisarif, whatever did has to be burnt. Okay, says Gemara, Bishlam Eilis Zayif by Davahave. The Gemara is bothered that Eilis Zayif, once you, we spoke about Shechita also, once you shecht the animal, you can't undo the Shechita. You can't undo the Malika. The animal's already shechted, it's already dead. It's already Nimlok. But Kmitza, just put it back. Ela Kaimitz, ask Gemara, we'll see the topic, we'll come back to the Tesis. Nahadu vinahadr, then it comes to me, mama. Put it back into the kli. You did a kmitza from the flower of the kli. Put the kmitza back in the kli, and do another kmitza. Once it's daybreak, what's the problem? That is the Gemara's kasha. We'll get back to the answer in a second on Amud Beis, but turn back to Amud Aleph for a second. There's a shocker question from Tesis. Tesis bothered is one only one big Tesis on Amud Aleph, Tesis is bothered, the Teva. What's our issue? I skipped the first four words of Tesis. Ma'ashma, the issue is, Laila, Psil is Laila, just like Shechita, Laila's Psil, so to Kibitza and Malika of Eilas Seif, of the Eila, Eilas, or Chata Seif, the Malika of the bird is going to be Psil, again, because it's Laila. Ask Tesis, forget about Laila. Bishlam in the Tamid, Shashachar, the reason why it's Psil when it's a night is Daf, because it's night, because it wasn't daybreak yet. But the other one should be possible because they're preceding the Tumid. The first carbon of the day is the Tumid. The other ones have a separate psal, not because it's Laila. By definition, if it's Laila, that means you haven't brought the Tumid yet. If you haven't brought the Tumid yet, then the Chariday should be possible, else being out of order. Says Taizviz, tape and tape and tape the carbon of the Tumid. You bring mark them before the Tumid, Shel, Shachar, Azayfak Taizviz, brings it Raya. They're not supposed to bring Laya Dover Kaidim Tumid, Ayla, Ayla, Shaina, right? We had these drushes. We had them. It's going to come up again. Actually, in 5 months from now, we had it in Erevin. We had it. We referenced it, I think, in Pesachim as well, right? So we had it in a few places. This idea of Tumid is supposed to be first. So why is that not a good enough reason? Answer says, scroll down about 10 lines. V'yei Shleimar, maybe 12 lines, 15 lines. Today says two teretzim. One teretz is that it's a kolam mipsil mishum shchita di mishum kaidim tumid hu baktara. Maybe the psil of going before the tumid is only being makter. If I'm makter before the tumid, it's possible. But if I did a shchita of something before the tumid, another carbon, or I did a malika, or I did a kmitza, else before the tumid, that's not a psil. When something possible, only if I was makter before the tumid, that'll be possible. That's answer number one thesis, and therefore we have to come on to Lila as being the psil, because the malika or the kmitza alone would not make it possible, because that's not enough of a psil of being before the tumid. That's Tais's first answer, and Tais's second answer is just an answer that we use so many times in Kachim. It's a great chazara for us, and that is, like so many did in Kachim, yes, there may be a din that the tumid is supposed to go first, but who says it's Ma'akiv. Maybe it's only the mitzvah. Tumid is supposed to go first, but b'di'evin, if you didn't go first, it's not ma'akiv, and therefore we need a separate psul to say that malika b'layla or kmitz b'layla is psul als layla, not psul als being first. I'm just thinking now when I'm being teishvitz that there can be another svara. Once it's not zman tumid by layla, it wouldn't be a psul being before the tumid. Since Laila is not yet Zman Tumid, I could hear you don't have a psul of not before Tumid. You're right, technically you run into an issue, second is daybreak, you still have that problem. But the point is you have to come on to that, you can't come on to that psul yet, because it's not Zman Tumid yet. Only when it's Zman Tumid, you have a psul being before the Tumid. Therefore, the only psul really would be, right now, at this juncture, the psul would be psul of Laila. Okay, either way, ask the Gemara, why are you coming on to a psul of Laila by Kaimitz? I understand by Malika, you can't undo it, but by Kaimitz, put it back. If you remember, we actually discussed this very idea, this svara, just in the past 2 days. We had it twice in the past few days, which Shnei Gizri eats him. We said twice, Marzuch's question about why we focus so much on the Mishnah about it being daybreak for Shechita purposes, it should also, we should focus that it needs to be daybreak for the Shnei Gizri eats him. Elamai, Shnei Gizri eats him, don't need daybreak. And the Mar says, no, that's not a raya. The reason why we don't focus on stressing that it's the morning for Shnei Gizri eats him, because let's say you put it up before the morning. You know what you do? Just take it back down and put it back up. You can fix it. That was the Mar's exact deflection, and that we'll have to be so particular to be make sure they have extra precautions that it's daybreak for Shnei Gizri eats him, even if it has to be done by day, because you'll just fix it. Where Shechita you can't fix. That's the Mar's kasha over here. Kmitza, fix, put it back. Answers Gemara, top line of Amud Beis. Hu Tani Lavu Amarla. He asked the question. He taught it and he explained it. Klisharis Mekachin a few shavus manei. A klisharis and Mekachin a few shavus manei. If he did the kmitza, once he did the kmitza, it got kedusha. Once it got kedusha, kedusha's kaimitz. He cannot put it back, even though it's not the right zman now. The klisharis gives a kedusha and he can't replace it. He can't put it back in. Ask Gemara, not so fast. Meis we looked at Beisa. Zaklal Kol Kar Biyim Kadosh Biyim Kol Kar Blayla Kadosh Blayla. Anything which is carbon by day can be sanctified by day. Anything which is carbon night, what's carbon night? So Pasha is talking about Menaira. Anything which is carbon night can be sanctified by night. Kokar baby baby laila, Kaddish baby baby laila. This discussion, we have three different categories or only two, because again, what's done, the only thing done at night that I think offhand is Menaira. So someone is shrinking into two categories. Different gear says, either way, Kokar baby baby laila, Kaddish baby baby laila. What do you see? Tanimius, Kalak Karv Biyim, Kaddish Biyim, Biyim, Imlan Lai. That which is Karv Biyim is able to get sanctified by day, but it cannot be sanctified by night, right? The Chari can't be sanctified by night because as it can't be, if it can't be Karv at night, it can't be sanctified at night. So the Kemitza, which can't be Karv at night, it can't be Nekrav, the Chari shouldn't get Kedusha either. Biyim, Imlan Lai. Answers the Gemara, a big Yisrael, a famous Yisrael we have in Kachem many times. Tilma in a Kaddish Li Karev, Ava Kaddish Li Pasol. There's different levels of Kedusha. Klisharis can give something Kedusha that is Kaddish to be able to go on the Mizbeach, to be Nekrav on the Mizbeach, or there's a lower level Kedusha which is it's Karev to become Pasol, it's Kaddish, sorry, to become Pasol, not the Karev. It gets Kedusha for pasla's purposes, which seems pretty negative, but it doesn't get kedusha. It's not kaddish enough to go on the mizbeach, but it's kaddish enough to get for kedusha to pasla. In this case, the kaimitz gets kedusha in the sense that you can only go put it back with the rest of the mincha, and therefore it's messed up and it's pasla, but not kedusha to go on the mizbeach. And that's what the brayse meant. The brayse we quoted meant called a karav b'yayim can only get kedusha to go on the mizbeach b'yayim. That kedusha only comes by day, but kedusha to become pasla that can come even at night. Masr of zera. Answer of zero was that according to this, we should have a problem with the following halacha of lechem upon him. See, there is the lechem that's a bzicha achar Shabbos. What if one was beside the breads or the cups of levaina on Sunday achar Shabbos? Now we know it's supposed to be done on Shabbos, and more importantly, not only it's supposed to be done on Shabbos. If it was done on Shabbos, it's no good the next Shabbos because it's supposed to be there for a week. Lechem upon him is supposed to be on the shulchan for a week. Then you're able to take it off. If it's less than a week, it's premature. So let's see what's done on Sunday. Victus the Bezikim Shabbos, and then the following Shabbos, he's makta the Bezikim prematurely, psula. The bread is pasul. This is a shalom Rashi wants to take out the word psula because the Gemara is going to give an eitzah of what you should or shouldn't have done. But Lachar, you could text the word psula very simple. In this case, we didn't do the solution, it's pasul. What should he have done? Case in Yasa. It's again, the question of the lashon, the word really should be, what should he have done, not what he should do now. If it's puzzle, doing this now wouldn't help. So that's where the girsa change comes in for Rashi. He says, take out the word psula because it'll give you an eitzah. Case in Yasa. Yanichen el Shabbos Abba. You should leave lechem on the table, on the shulchan, for the following week. Then burn the levina the following week. So basically, it'll be on the shulchan for 13 days, and that's fine. That's fine. It doesn't have to become puzzle. As well as just be mocked the bezichah prematurely, that's a problem. Says the Mishnah explicitly. Shafil amdal shulchan yam rabim. Even if it stands on the shulchan for many days, im gachlum, that's not a problem. Fact yamar v'amai. Why is that not a problem? To kaddish for the puzzle. Let the bread become kaddish when it's put on the mizbeach early. It gets kedusha, and once it gets kedusha, let it become puzzle by being there. It prematurely, let it become possible by bringing it at the wrong time. The same way the kmitza has a psul by being put in the klisharis at night, and we said it gets kedusha in order to become possible. It gets kedusha for possible purposes by being in the klisharis by being done at the wrong time. So to this lechem apanim a week from Sunday, that full week early till Shabbos, it should get kedusha to become possible. Amar Rava, man the kamaisiv shab kamaisiv. The question Rav Zera is asking is a valid question. However, Avuah Rav Avin, Lama Besisa Kamer. Avuah Rav Avin, he's the one that said the original din. His original din was that just like Shechit at night is pasul, so too Kemitza and Malika is pasul, and his din of Kemitza, he's saying Rav is offending, is also true. Even though Rav Zera is asking a good question, his original din is true as well. Why? Because Sever, Laila Imachus Azman, Yemachus Azman. Because we say this time of the Brisa holds that Laila is not considered because it's man. Yeah, because it's man. Meaning, since the night goes before the day, it's part of the day. I mean, again, in Kachem, we say actually the night goes after the day as well. But since typically the night goes before the day, so it's not called because it's man in the sense that the Klisharis will have Kedusha to sanctify it and say you cannot turn back now, and it's the wrong, so it's the wrong Zman to become Puzzle, but it's enough for the right Zman for Kedusha to take place. Whereas, Lechem Apanim, which is a full 6 days early now, in this case, when you do it on a Sunday, it's full 6 days early. Over there, that's pretty considered Chas Hazman, and if it won't get Kedusha, it won't get Kedusha to become Puzzle, to be premature. Ask the Marla Avis Kasha, okay, fine. So it won't become Puzzle on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. When's Lechem Apanim supposed to go on the Shulchan? On Shabbos day. But you're telling me the night before is when the Mincha can become Puzzle by doing a Kaimitz prematurely at night, because it's part of the same day, can become Puzzle. So the night before, Lechem upon him, Friday night, should become Puzzle when it was there prematurely. Says the Gemara, Kibati Bei Shimsha, Tikadish Ritzmazel, when Friday evening comes, let the bread become Puzzle for being on the Shulchan. You have to say the case where the Kain went, removed it on Friday night before nightfall, and then put it back so it wasn't able to become Puzzle on Friday night. No, you could say that you never took it away. Hold it from pshat. When you did it a week early, totally at the wrong time, and it's so mechusar's man, it's as if it was done by a monkey. And therefore, even if it remains there Friday night, that's not considered enough of an act of remaining there to get kedusha and be the wrong time to become bustle. It's fine, and therefore Shabbos when it's there ends up being okay. Whereas by the mincha, where the guy did a kaimitz, it was an act of the kain himself. He did a kaimitz, and it was the night before. It already was close enough where it gets kedusha, but too early to be done properly. Therefore, we get a psul. So we're sticking with Rav Avua. Your Bavin's din that a kamitza like a malika like a shchita done by night is going to be puzzle. We'll pause over here. I beg for tomorrow's Shem. Have a wonderful day.